is Davin's Den.
Is Davin's Den.
And we are back. Thank you guys for hanging out with us, whether you're watching on Facebook Live, listening at davincomedy.com, or listening on the podcast. We certainly appreciate your ears. Had a lot of fun in the first portion of the show. We'll move it along here on the second portion. Talk about some, I think, some serious topics. We'll put a funny spin on it or not. You'll fucking find out. I don't know. Anyway, all right. So Joe is in his house where he can't do any more damage, and Pip is in her home where she's negotiating with a pile of crap so it doesn't avalanche on her. So we'll try to get her through the evening. So we will get going. All right. So did you guys see this story where desperately needed medical supplies were like in warehouses in places like Jersey and were being sold to other countries to the highest bidder?
Yeah.
Because I sent it to you. But I don't know if everybody got it. So I will catch everybody up. So this article was written by David DeSalvo of Forbes magazine. So this is his experience because he was at one of these. He was dealing with a broker. So millions of N95 masks have been available throughout the U.S., Canada, and the U.K. during the pandemic, according to the brokers trying to sell them. The high price point per mask driven by the extreme demand has contributed to an overwhelmed reaction among potential buyers, especially in the U.S. Scrutiny surrounding those deals is high because of ongoing scams and claims of price gouging, both of which are triggering emotionally charged reactions and fear of making deals. Millions of masks are being purchased by foreign buyers and are leaving the country, according to the brokers, while the domestic need remains alarmingly high. When contacting potential buyers, Remington, that's the broker, needs two things to secure a deal with a seller: a letter of intent to purchase and proof of funds. If you're working with a seller who has masks but you can't quickly show proof of funds, someone else is going to buy them. Buyers from state procurement departments and hospital systems expressed desperate need for masks, but the deals bogged down when it came to providing proof that they could commit and follow through. In the meantime, another buyer provided proof of funds and the masks were gone, sometimes within an hour. Remington explained that his business is all about networks. It's a contact to contact to contact market. Through his network of contacts, he finds a seller with masks in a warehouse, several million masks in each lot, and attempts to link the product with buyers in need. Prices range from anywhere between $6 and $7 per mask, depending on volume and location. The same masks were selling for closer to $4 a week before. So, and this article is a few weeks old, so I don't know what the price is now. Remington received text updates from his network about ever-changing quantities of masks in Houston, New Jersey, Miami, Los Angeles, and other U.S. cities, along with cities in Canada and the United Kingdom. I was astounded by the numbers of masks at these locations. At one point, this is DeSalvo talking, at one point he received an update that 43 million masks were available in New Jersey in the same time frame that federal and state leaders were saying in press conferences that they were scouring the globe. But the masks in New Jersey, along with many millions more, didn't go to any domestic buyer. Instead, according to the broker, they were all purchased by foreign buyers. Most of the masks are leaving the country, he told me. That's not the case in countries that have cracked down on exports. But as of now, the U.S. is allowing many types of medical supplies to leave the country, even as states and hospital systems are expressing desperate need for masks and other PPE. We discussed the need for PPE on the first portion of the show. Potential buyers trying to secure PPE for their medical personnel are often not empowered to make fast, high-dollar deals, no matter how desperately they'd like to close a deal and get masks to those in need. So they listen to the range of emotions playing out in negotiation, and it seemed that the domestic procurement process is simply unprepared to operate in the frenzied market. Individuals want to do the right thing, but the system in which they operate are hamstringed by rules that weren't created to approve enormous transactions in an hour or less. By the end of the day, listen to this, roughly 280 million masks from warehouses around the U.S. had been purchased by foreign buyers and were earmarked to leave the country, according to the broker, and that was in one day. To his knowledge, none of the masks that had been purchased by buyers in the U.S. Remington told me that his focus now is to try to sell masks to federal agencies like FEMA, responsible for securing PPE. So the items can go directly to the states that will distribute to hospitals, but it's been challenging to close a deal, and the number of middlemen in the negotiations keep rising. Many people are marking up prices in the middle. People are just trying to make as much money as they can. So the White House got wind of this, I guess. So White House Trade Advisor Peter Navarro on Thursday vowed to crack down on emerging black market that peddles valuable medical equipment overseas. Speaking at the White House daily coronavirus press briefing, Navarro described the shady exchange of personal protective equipment from domestic hoarders to brokers who then shipped the goods abroad at profit. When President Trump heard about that, he said, "That's not going to happen anymore under my watch." Navarro said that an order expected to be issued Friday will enable the U.S. Customs and Border Protection to enforce the crackdown. I don't know if that order ever happened. So we're going to crack down unmercifully. And I would say to the hoarders out there, the brokers who are trying to make money off the misery of people in the country or around the world, that's got to stop. That stuff absolutely has got to stop. Navarro told the underground players to send their supplies to FEMA for a fair price. Joe, what are your thoughts?
Okay, one of the key things here with this is moving, and like I said, moving forward, we have to be better prepared with this. Now, one key thing in the story is buyers from buyers at procurement departments and hospital systems expressed the desperate need for the mask, but the deals bogged down when it came to providing proof that they could commit and follow through. In the meantime, another buyer provided proof of funds, and the masks were gone, sometimes within an hour. Now, basically, the protocol on making deals for this stuff has got to be simplified. Stuff goes very quickly. To give you an example, at the day program, we rep a chemical company. The chemical company said, "Hey, look, we will be making hand sanitizer." My boss jumped on that and said, "That's a great idea. We'll start moving the hand, you know, we'll start selling the hand sanitizer for you." We, in about a 2-day period, sold 18,000 bottles. Okay, and we've got a back order of two weeks. We had it where the price was at a certain point, but due to the price of alcohol to make it, it could be going up. So we've been very upfront with the customers. Customers that are dealing with the hospitals have got first dibs on everything, and we're allocating everything. But the thing about it is that people that were, you know, kind of said, "Well, this and that and the other thing," it's one of these, and we're a very customer service oriented company. You either want it or you don't. We have people that are looking for this. This is what we're running, and we're selling it by the case. Do you want it or you don't? You need to jump on it immediately if this protocol's, and I've dealt with, you know, I was a buyer for years. Matter of fact, one of my partners actually on the watch party, and, you know, she would even tell you that, you know, sometimes you got to jump on a deal. If you don't have the authority or the capacity, or you're stuck down in a bureaucracy to jump on the deal, they're gonna sell it. You're gonna lose out. So these buyers need to have, there needs to be a directive with the purchasing departments that in situations of masks, shields, personal protection devices, and stuff like that, that they have an authority if there was certain dollar amount to make it a deal immediately to cut a purchase order.
What do you think, Pip?
Well, that's the problem, is that, you know, government has had each state has their own rules about purchasing, and government has tried to protect from there being all kinds of, you know, misappropriation and, nepotism and things in government. So they've come up with all this labyrinthine purchasing procedures, and so that is to protect from people doing the wrong thing, but then it makes it really difficult to jump on a sale because, you know, there is a purchase order process, and there's there are rules about what you have to do, like bidding structure and things. And so, you know, when you have those kind of things in order, It really does make it difficult to just go and take care of something in a big hurry. And I think that that's the same sort of problem that they're having at the federal level. And the fact that there are people who are unscrupulous enough to jack up the price during a worldwide crisis. So it's layers to this. And it's really beyond unfortunate that people would take advantage, and then we have health workers that are doing without, and your wife is spending 24/7 pumping out things on one printer in your house. That's crazy.
I think,
and to compound the matter, what she was saying is, yeah, you do have that protocol on what you would pay for a price. Now, let's say that the argument, what was the dollar amount for the magic, like $6 and change? If you want, you know, if this is your source and he has it, you know, and this is where you can get it, and you've got people that need it, and the $6.45 is the price. do you want it or you don't? There has to be a director or a protocol in price where they can go, where a purchasing manager or a purchasing agent has the authority to go through that, even though they're paying a higher price. Do you have that authority? Now, this is, like I said, once again, this goes back to what have we learned here? What do we need to do to mitigate this and navigate this moving forward? And that's one of the things that municipalities have to deal with their purchasing departments on critical care. There should be a list of critical care from ventilators right down the line to personal protection items where they need to set a guideline of where they're going to go and what they are allowed to buy at a certain price point.
Right.
And then there needs to be a go-to person in a situation like this, or a lead purchasing manager, that he has the authority that he can be contacted immediately. Listen, it's 6:45. He's got 70 cases. We need to jump on this now. We need them, you know, and they make that choice. It's a tough gig because you have to be accountable to the bean counters, you know, but if you do have protocols that are in place, it will make that procedure seamless where you could tell the guy, all right, I will call you back within 5 minutes. Hold this. In 5 minutes, if another bit, hold, you know, and if you have that, look, I buy it so well that you do have relationships with people. They'll hold it for 5 minutes. You can get that call back and go, all right, go, do it, you know.
Right.
That's the problem.
Well, I think you guys raised some interesting points and good points, but it seems like, at least from Navarro, and we're made to believe from the president, this is an easy fix, and it appears other countries are doing this too. You can't export stuff. We got a national emergency. They should have made that law or ruling or executive order, whatever the hell it is, sooner. And it's crazy to have all these municipalities, all these states competing and competing against the federal government, competing against other countries. Trump should activate the National Protection Act. I think that's what it is. National Defense Act? I don't know. National Production Act. That's what the hell it is. He should enact this. They should give these people a fair price. 280 million masks in one day from one warehouse. I mean, come on. Come on. This doesn't have to be that difficult. You guys raise good points. It just doesn't have to be that difficult.
No, it doesn't.
So I think the president calls...
3M.
Yeah, but no, once the president calls a national emergency, which President Trump has done, did it several weeks ago. I was on the road when it happened. It affected numbers that night. But when the president calls for a national... when the president...
The good old days.
Yeah, well, when I used to work and have something to do. When the president says, we have a national emergency, that's when these rules should kick into effect. You can't export the stuff. The government's going to buy it all up, what we need. We're going to give you a fair market price. And that's the way he did it. And take all the actions out. Trump hasn't done that yet. I don't know why. And unfortunately, people have died because of it. And it didn't have to happen.
Well, he already went to 3M, and he already enacted that with 3M.
Right, but he should have done it sooner. Because remember,
But the thing about it is we didn't know the extent. I'll tell you right now.
No, we knew. Joe, we knew.
We didn't.
He already called the national emergency. He said the companies will do the right thing. And then it turned out he wasn't happy with 3M. So he enacted it on them. But don't wait for their morality or their patriotism to do the right thing. Presidents, administrations enact this all the time. This administration's done it a bunch. Obama did it a bunch. W did it a bunch. They all do it a bunch. Now, usually it's for weapons and shit like that. They tell companies you got to make this shit, and they give them the price, and that's what it was. This is not some new thing. It doesn't turn us into Venezuela. Just fucking enact it. Lives are at stake.
That's what he essentially did with 3M. He gave 3M the opportunity to offer a fair price. 3M was raising the price. And Trump said, you know what? I'm not paying that.
Right, but that took...
But I'm paying. Oh, by the way, I'm enacting this law on your ass. Get to work.
But the problem was, Joe, the problem was that took a few weeks. Whereas if he just would have enacted it sooner, it would have been done sooner. So people would have had the mask sooner. That's the problem. You can't fucking pussyfoot. If you're going to call a national emergency, act like it's a fucking national emergency. You know, well, and I remember he said it, national emergency, two very big words. I remember that. I was watching him. It was like he's fucking learning new spelling words in the fifth grade. I remember him saying that.
Yeah.
But he wanted the free trade
It doesn't work. He doesn't always use the free trade when he wants weapons. This administration hasn't used free trade. Obama didn't use free trade. W didn't use free trade. They go, no, we want this. You're going to make this shit. Every administration enacts it. You have it. It doesn't make it Venezuela. Lives are at stake. Don't fucking leave it to the goodwill of people, because we're seeing that's not working. You do have good eggs like my wife and plenty of other people out there. And a lot of companies have stepped up. But the thing is, when you enact this, you could tell them how many we need to make, how many you have to hire to make these things, and how much money we're going to give you. Then, as you know, as a purchaser, you know how to work. That's what they should do.
But here's the deal. If it is available and stuff like that, I've got to wait to get an approval through a bureaucracy.
Right, but the government doesn't have to. If the government enacts this, they don't have to wait. That's the difference.
Yeah, they're not hamstrung like, you know, the smaller levels of government are.
Yeah, they're dealing. This broker is dealing with individual hospitals from municipalities. So you guys were talking about, yeah, they got to make it quicker. But there's an easier way to do it. Have the government buy. President Trump said this is a national emergency. Two very big words. Once you call a national emergency, you're saying game on. Don't fucking say it if you don't mean it. When you're saying game on, all bets are off. All hands on deck. We're using every tool in the fucking tool shed, in the tool case.
Yeah, but like I said, we're learning with this as we go. We have not had a situation like this in over 100 years.
I got to tell you, Joe, it doesn't really take me much of a fucking learning curve to figure some of this shit out. I'm not the fucking sharpest knife in the drawer. Some of this shit is just basic. And he's been told to enact it. And he said he would enact it. But he doesn't enact it. GM still probably hasn't gotten the order to do it from the president. He said he was going to make the ventilators. President Trump said he was going to do it. He said he didn't. GM says we still haven't gotten it. And that's over a week ago. We got to stop dicking around. If this is a national emergency, which we all believe this is, actually it's a global emergency, but for our purposes, this is a national emergency, we need to stop dicking around. That's all. All right.
Doesn't this seem to be like a systemic problem, though? Because we already have seen that we had our military going to war without having the proper protection.
Somebody's reading my Facebook posts.
We seem to have. Well, I was thinking this myself. We seem to have.
If you didn't, if you didn't post it, it doesn't count. Go on.
We seem to have money for things when we want them, but then all of a sudden it's like things that seem like reasonable things that we should be spending money on, all the money's disappeared.
No, I don't think it's
That's
a
ridiculous.
Money. To your point, in the Iraq and Afghanistan wars, I think it was only in Iraq, but I don't know, we sent our military to battle with Humvees that didn't have the proper armor, so you had like place towns in Ohio doing fundraisers and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, we're sending our medical personnel to, they are the soldiers in this battle to fight this coronavirus, and they don't have the proper equipment. Now, where I differ from you is I don't think this is a money thing. This is a bad job by us taking care of things and being prepared. We have the money. We print money. Most countries in the world go by the dollar.
I was being facetious about not having the money.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't get that. All right, fine. You're being facetious.
Okay.
It's ridiculous. We are doing a disservice to our people. Yeah, you know, it's going to be the same fucking thing at the Joe, you're going to appreciate this at these comedy shows. Right now at all the shows, we fucking go, "Let's hear it for the troops." And people like me roll my fucking eyes, not because the troops don't fucking deserve it, because it's such a pandering thing. So after this, we're going to hear, "Let's hear it for the medical personnel." Again, not that they don't deserve it, but it's such a pandering thing. And I'm going to be like, but yeah, where were you when we were trying to keep them alive? Don't fucking give them applause. Give them the shit they need. It's the same thing.
Here's the deal as well. And this is moving. And this is what have we learned here and what do we need to do? A lot of states were supposed to keep a certain level of medical supplies on hand due to something never experiencing like that in our lifetimes, spend the money on other things due to budget constraints. Where now that they're doing, because of the severity of this, they got caught short. So it's a tricky thing where you go, well, you need to keep this stuff, you know, it's, you know, stock. You need to have a certain level.
Here's what I will agree.
You have to make sure, but we need the money here, and here. Well, you got, you know. So moving forward, it's a tricky thing.
Here's where I will agree with you and disagree with you.
Oh, well, we got to keep seconds. It gets a little bit more involved than that.
Here's where I will agree and disagree. Yes, the states got caught short. But the federal government got caught short. Now, I don't know if the states had the information that the federal government had, because in the past three intel meetings, the past 3 years, they didn't have it this year. It's been postponed. The president was warned that we are not prepared for a pandemic. The intelligence said we are not prepared for this. So while you are right, the states were not prepared. The federal I don't know what their warnings were, but we know the federal government was warned. And they weren't prepared. So when you go, we've never seen anything like this. No, but the intelligence and the scientists said, this shit's coming. And we didn't fucking do what was necessary. That being said...
But here's the deal, too. You got to understand, we weren't prepared for 9/11 either.
But we were warned! It's the same fucking thing!
I understand that. But here's my thing. You've seen, moving on past 9/11, you still have to go through security. Security is tight. We've learned things.
Why are we fucking slow? Why are we so stupid? Why are the people we elect so dumb?
Because we're human beings.
No. Hey, Joe.
It's not a perfect world.
Joe,
I'm telling you.
Joe, we're doing the radio show. You tell me, listen, if you don't fix your computer, the broadcaster's going to crap out. I have two choices. I can either take your advice, because you know this shit, you're the expert, and fix it before it craps out, or try to go as long as I can, ignore it, and hope it fucking works, and then when it craps out, deal with it. Or I could go, oh, I didn't know, Joe, why didn't you tell me? Even though you told me. They knew. W knew, and Trump knew. Don't make excuses for them.
But what I'm saying is this, if it's something you happen to have an experience, where you go? Look, you know the equipment that we use. You know, eventually, it's going to crash. You know, and everything is okay, and nothing's happened. You don't have that sense of urgency to replace it. Once it crashes, you're like, all right, we got to watch this. We got to do.
You know what?
It's not a perfect world.
No, Joe, no. If lives are at stake, if you tell me if you don't fix the broadcaster, 100 people are going to die, I go, all right, I guess I'm going out this week before the show to buy another fucking broadcaster. It's lives are at stake. You fucking do it. You got the money. And then when this shit does happen, you can stand and hold up your chest, go, that should happen, but I prepared us, and they were foiled. That's what you do. You look like a hero. That's what you do.
I understand. You know what, though? And when everything is fine and dandy and something like this hasn't happened and our generation has never experienced it, it's like with 9/11. You're like, oh, well, yeah, all right. Well, yeah, okay. Okay. When it happens, you learn. You move on. You hope you learn. You hope you move on.
Yeah, I'm not going
to. We just discussed these steps that need to be taken.
We've lost.
And this is what needs to be, you know, these are the steps that needs to be taken.
No.
Moving on.
Thousands of Americans, thousands, if they weren't warned, then you go, it's an intelligence failing. If they weren't warned, go, what did we do wrong here? Both cases we talked about, they were warned. I'm not forgiving it because they didn't know. They have people whose job it is to know. That's why we invested so much in intelligence. That's what we fucking do. That's why we have so many, that's why we have all these scientists.
With a pandemic, we had people that it was their job to know and to warn us and to tell us what to do. They were fired.
A day in and day out thing. If you never had a pandemic like that, and you don't have a sense of urgency to prepare like that. If we're having this If we're having this conversation in October, I'm on board. You know, I'm totally on board. But you know, for right now, it's been a learning curve.
And this goes to my point.
No, we learned nothing from SARS. We learned nothing from Ebola.
H1N1.
There have been other pandemics, but large, you know, infections that spread, and we haven't learned. Just because it didn't hit us so hard doesn't mean that we can't learn from those experiences. We didn't. We had a team that was in place to take care of us, and no, we didn't. And this because we didn't pay attention.
Oh,
we didn't keep
right.
The scientists they're supposed to.
And this is why I say we get the government we deserve. Too often with Americans, we want to hang out with the president, drink a beer, cuddle, have him or her talk nicely to us. And I'm always like, I don't give a shit if they're an asshole. Joe always says, well, we didn't elect them to be a honey bunch. Okay, fair enough. I just want smart people in charge that are capable. And to hear Joe make excuses, well, he'd never seen her, or this would never saw her, it's not good enough.
It's
you want
not an excuse, it's an explanation.
All right, well, and fine. It's not good enough.
To add to Pip's dialogue, you know, and say, well, SARS came about, you know, and we didn't take that seriously either because it wasn't to that extent. Now, I'm not saying that was a genius move, but in a day in and day out environment of money and what needs to be allocated to what, if you see something like that hit and you go, all right, well, this happened and it didn't happen to a bad extent, we should be okay.
But you hold on.
There was
hold
anything
on.
Like this.
Hold on. No. First of all, the Obama administration, I don't want to get all in the weeds in this, but the Obama administration had a playbook for this. You brought up Ebola. You know what happened with Ebola? Oh, the Obama administration saw what was going on in Africa. You know what they did? They sent our fucking doctors over to Africa to fight the shit over there so it didn't come over here. And it fucking worked. That's why it wasn't so bad here. It was devastating to countries in Africa, but it didn't get over there because we were proactive. And Obama didn't have to say, I saw Ebola before. You just fucking do the right thing.
Do you think the Chinese would have been receptive?
We had... Well, for 2 points to that. We had scientists from the CDC in China for pandemics. Trump got rid of them. That being said... When you say, I have a very good relationship with Xi, very good friend, very good. Well, if you have a good relationship, then what? If you guys are such buddies as you fucking say, and they're not going to tell us the truth, what value to America does your friendship have? Fuck that shit. If you guys are buddies, he needs to tell us the truth, and we need to be working together. Otherwise, I think your relationship's bullshit.
No, but it's one of those things where you got to keep your friends close and your enemies close.
He said they're friends.
Because he's doing a diplomatic thing. Right?
Well, it isn't working, Joseph. It isn't working. They fucking lied to us. And Americans have died.
And wow, China lied.
Yes, I know that. I know that. You know that. But don't fucking... But he still defends them. Enough with the horse shit. And sometimes he comes down on China. I gotta be fair. Sometimes he comes down on them. But enough with this. Don't tell me about your personal friendships with them. I don't give a shit. What does it do for America? I don't give a shit if you and Xi are braiding each other's fucking hair. I could care less.
If there are some things on the supply chain, it's important. There was one time I was with a customer that was giving us a hard time about something. And he goes, look, be nice. Be cordial. He's an asshole. But cordial. He goes, it's called the Israeli handshake. And I never forgot that. You know, you've got, even if some, you don't like them, but you have to try to conduct some business with them. You have to throw a little baby powder.
Well, you know what, Joe?
Lying, they're crooks, they're assholes. You have to.
In the biggest business in the world, our fucking lives, that quote unquote friendship failed. So I don't want to hear anymore about the friendship. I don't want to hear it. I'm not interested. I don't want to hear. I would take him a lot more seriously if he wouldn't fucking talk about the friendship and go, you know what? When we needed them to be honest and forthright with us, they weren't. And this will not be forgotten because China has American blood on their hands. I would fucking respect that stance. You want to be a tough guy? Be a goddamn tough guy. All right, next topic.
All right, if he started calling it the Chinese flu again, would you have a problem with that?
I told you I was mixed with that. I told you I saw it both ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you can't get a fucking statement from the G7 because you insist on calling it the Chinese flu. Trump, pick your fucking battles. Just fucking get the statement with the G7. Don't call it the Chinese flu or the Wuhan virus in the fucking G7. Fucking save it for your press conference and piss off the liberals. I don't give a shit. Just get the statement with the G7. I'm very practical. I'm very practical. I want results. I do not give a shit about excuses. I do not give a shit about temper tantrums. They impress me not one bit. I do not care about faux toughness. I do not care when the president learns new words like national emergency. I don't give a shit. I want results. That being said, as of late, you'll like this, Joe. I will give the president credit because Governor Cuomo has asked the president to do certain things for New York, and Trump has stepped up. So I will give President Trump credit for that. I just wish there was more of that. I told you last week, I would love to fucking applaud this guy. I would love for him to have taken COVID-19 by the balls and come November, reelecting him is undeniable because he was so good at leading us through this crisis, something we've never seen before. His leadership, his decision-making was so undeniably on point that we'd be a fool not to elect this man for another 4 years. I would love that. I'm just not getting it. All right, moving on.
Right.
I feel he's doing fine. You got to remember, you're dealing with so many different agencies that have a sense of urgency, agencies that don't, agencies that need
Joe,
this, agencies that are over, you know.
Joe, he said he didn't know the acting Navy secretary today. Enough fucking bullshit. You're the guy that appointed him. Enough with the fucking nonsense. Enough with the fucking excuses. If you're not up to the job, step aside and let fucking Mike Pence do it. Because at least when Mike Pence is full of shit, he looks like he knows what he's doing, which is really all I'm asking for at this point. Enough
well,
with the
why,
fucking
well,
excuse.
That, and look, to critique Trump, once again, like I said, when Pence speaks and then Trump's got to throw his 2 cents in, I'm like, oh, for Christ's sake. Yeah. I'll defend, but there's some points I have.
Like when Trump congratulated him for talking for 5 minutes and not answering the question?
Yeah, threw him right under the bus. That was some interesting TV.
Oh, God.
Well, Trump was actually right on that point, but Jesus Christ.
Wow, isolate that.
No, listen, I said last week he's been right on certain things.
Yeah.
No, listen, but I'm not going to fucking tolerate the excuses when the right would make up reasons not to fucking like Obama. Did you see the color of that suit he wore today? It's after Labor Day. What's he fucking thinking? No, it's not.
Oh, my God.
The tan suit.
I yearn for the days of the tan suit.
Yeah, so don't come with me with excuses. That's the fucking gig. Just like it's my job to entertain for 45 minutes, whether they're fucking drunken six people or they're the best audience of 200 people and they're amazing. It doesn't fucking matter. That's the fucking gig. No more excuses. You wanted the job. You got the job. Do the job. That's it. All right. And I expect that from everybody. In every walk of life. And so do you, Joe. That's why you fucking yelled at the 7-Eleven guy and the Stop and Shop guy and the Home Depot person. Because you expect people to do their job properly. And I agree with you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Good.
I'm sorry. But, you know, a dialogue between you and I agree with you. And me going, okay, is so rare.
No.
It stumped the whole damn staff.
Joe, I guarantee you.
I really did get stopped for a second and went, what?
The whole damn staff got stumped on now.
Joe, I guarantee you. If the manager came out at the Stop and Shop and tried to defend the other guy's actions and made excuses, you would not have fancied that. No matter how good the excuses were, you were like, you have one fucking job. Do the fucking job. Don't tell me what to do. You would have lashed into him, too. That's what I want from the president. I want him to be as good as you would like the Stop and Shop guy to be. That's all I'm asking, Joe.
All right.
on to the next topic we can argue about.
Yay.
Guns. Gun stores, shooting ranges, firearm and ammunition manufacturers have all been included on a Trump administration list of essential services allowed to remain open during the coronavirus shutdown, a major win for the gun lobby, which has been battling states like California that have attempted to close these stores at a time of dramatically increased firearm sales. The move has already sparked backlash from the Brady Group, not the Brady Bunch, a prominent gun control organization. Which...
Oh, no. It was the Brady Bunch. Jan was very pissed off and outraged.
My nose.
AK-47s, AK-47s, AK-47s.
Very good. That backs me up on that. Get your act together. Just strength.
I guess their favorite scene was when Bobby dreamed that he was with Jesse James and he robbed the train because there was a gun involved. Was that their favorite scene?
Jesse James, yes. He was my father. Yeah.
Yes. Bang. Bang.
Yeah.
Yes. The move has already sparked backlash from the Brady Group, a prominent gun control organization, which filed a Freedom of Information request for access to the internal discussions that led the DHS to deem some gun stores essential, the AP reported. It's a public health issue, not a Second Amendment issue. They can't be sold from vending machines. They can't. Well, that'd be awesome. They can't be sold with curbside pickup. Brady's chief counsel said of the issue. The National Rifle Association, which along with other pro-gun groups spent days lobbying for the decision, lauded the move, tweeting their thanks to Trump for once again keeping his promise to protect the Second Amendment rights of all law-abiding citizens. Since the pandemic's onset, gun sales in the United States have surged, particularly among first-time buyers. However, as a caveat, the memorandum makes it clear it is not, nor should it be considered, a federal directive, meaning states are not legally obliged to follow the guidelines. In Los Angeles County, for example, the closure of two gun stores prompted a lawsuit against California officials by the NRA. New York, they said New York is trampling on Second Amendment rights by shuttering gun stores during the coronavirus pandemic, the NRA says in a new lawsuit. Governor Cuomo's decision to label gun shops non-essential businesses has made it virtually impossible for New Yorkers to legally buy a firearm in the state. The guns rights group argued in a federal lawsuit. The suit asked the court to declare gun stores essential businesses that can operate during the virus crisis. The current public health emergency does not justify the complete elimination of the right to bear arms, especially during a time when New Yorkers may have valid concerns about their physical safety and welfare. That's from a lawyer for the NRA. Cuomo issued an executive order on March 20th, forcing a non-essential business to close down. Gun stores are not on the list of essential establishments, which include grocery stores, pharmacies, and carryout restaurants. The NRA said New York's stance differs from that of the Trump administration, which included workers supporting gun retailers and manufacturers on a list of critical infrastructure released last week. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy decided to allow state's gun retailers to operate by appointment only. New York Attorney General Letitia James vowed to defend the states against the NRA's lawsuit. The group has brought similar complaints to California. Everyone, including the NRA, must follow the law and all executive orders of New York. All right. So I will say that I have mixed thoughts on this. First of all, I do not think this is a Second Amendment issue. Nobody's taking your guns away. Nobody's saying you have to turn your guns in. It is a health issue. So to say it's a Second Amendment issue is ridiculous, because you know what? We're all acting differently now. We're all having to really change our behavior, which is a scary thing in its own right. And I get that, you know, we are giving up rights that we normally have, but it's because, you know, the president has said we are at war. He said he's considered himself a wartime president. So when you are at war, if you are a patriot, you make sacrifices. So here's the thing. I could actually make arguments. I could make arguments for gun stores being open. I could make arguments for them to continue to manufacture ammunition. I could make that argument. I cannot make the argument for shooting ranges to be open, because to me, shooting ranges are like going to, you know, the driving range to play golf or the batting cages for baseball. But you say, well, what about the first time people who need to practice? I would halt, during this pandemic, the sale of first-time gun owners, because you can't get the training. There's not the opportunity. You're probably not in the right frame of mind to make that purchase. You're purchasing your gun out of panic and fear. It's bad enough when you fucking do it with toilet paper. The last thing we need you doing is a first-time gun user with firearms. I could justify allowing guns to be sold if I wanted to, and the ammunition, because in some places they hunt, and that is their way of life, not for sport, but for food. So I kind of get that. But I, you know, and I was talking to my police friend about this too, and he's, you know, like I said, he's a cop, and he kind of agreed that they should stop the first-time users, and they should close the gun ranges, but to allow other gun shops to be open. I like what New Jersey did with appointment only. That way you're controlling how many people can be in there, which is why these laws are in, why these executive orders are in place. I think that's a nice compromise. What say you?
I feel that I do feel that the gun stores being open is an essential thing. Basically, we're in a very uncertain time. You go to the supermarket, there's no food. And if it breaks down, you know, and you don't know when this is going to end.
So what are you going to do, shoot a summer squash?
I'm sorry?
I said, what are you going to do, shoot a summer squash?
No, but the thing about it is, if you have a gun, I have deer in my backyard. I love them. They're my babies. But let me tell you something. If the stores are closed for weeks, you know, or they close the stores and it gets desperate, I'll shoot one of them. You could shoot one of them and you have food.
But here's the thing, Joe. Here's the thing. You probably could not shoot one of them because you are first time. Like I said, if you're an experienced hunter, I get it. But I don't want first-time people running around and panicking and thinking that they know what they're doing, because they're going to hurt somebody, probably themselves. And we don't need people in the hospital right now. You don't want people buying guns out of fear. And like I said, it's bad enough when they buy up all the toilet paper and hand sanitizer out of fear. The last thing you want to be in a fear purchase is a weapon. There is safety. There is responsibility that one must take to be a responsible gun owner. And I don't have a problem with responsible gun owners. I have no issue with that.
But the thing about it is even protecting yourself, you know what, and just because basically there's cops that get a coronavirus, there's been, you know, the police force have been dwindling in some cases. You want something to protect yourself. We're in a time where society breaks down really quick.
Joe, the chances of you being able to hit a moving target, and I don't mean with disrespect, I say it to myself too, the chances of you or I hitting a moving target, as untrained as we both are, and not being gun owners, but if we walked in and bought a gun, it's very, very small. There's a much greater chance that we'd fucking blow off our own foot or something. That's my point.
And that's where the range comes in, where you get out there and you practice.
It's not enough. It's not enough. You need training.
How do you know it's not enough?
Because I've shot. And it's not just like, it's not like they show on TV. It's just not.
But the thing about it, you know what? There's something. If society breaks down to a time of chaos, you know, to own a weapon, just to know you have
a weapon. Buy a knife.
In case something goes.
Buy a knife.
You know?
Buy a crossbow. That'll do damage.
You're going to see a guy walks in with a gun. Hold on, let me get my bow. Hold on, let me get...
No, it's not like fucking the Westerns. A crossbow, you fucking put it... I mean, you know what you're doing, but you press a trigger and it goes. It's not like you're a squaw.
Yeah, but still, a crossbow is a weapon as much as a gun is.
Right, okay? but those places, you can still buy a crossbow. And I don't think you should. Listen, you can't, I'm not saying shut it all down, but you can't have all these friends. And this is from a cop, man. This is from a cop. These are the people that are going to fucking get hurt. Everybody says they love the cops, but you want to give every asshole a fucking gun, then you don't love the cops. And we have no reason to believe that the supply chain... Oh, wow, what the fuck? Oh, there we go. We have no reason to believe... No, I was watching the video. We have no reason to believe that the supply chain is going to break down. The president has told us it won't.
I thought there were people crashing in your back door right now.
No, I mean, the president's told us it won't. You always believe him. So why are you worried now?
Because society goes, I mean, when you need, now we're crashing. I think you're back. All right. Society in general, are we back? Yeah, I think we're back.
We're back.
Society in general, it in a crisis, if supplies dwindle, places are closed, the society gets very, very, very base. Very, very.
So you want the Wild West?
It will be like the Wild
West. No, it's not going to be like the Wild West. Then you have no confidence.
You don't know that. I mean, people, stores are closed. I mean, if they had a lockdown and stuff like that, which there's been talk about, and then people are desperate, you know, you want the opportunity to protect yourself.
So what are you going to do? Are you going to fucking sit on your porch and fire away? You're going to get yourself killed.
No, you keep it in the house. You use it, and it just in case. You give too much credit to the society. I mean,
quite the opposite. I know exactly what society is, and I don't want a bunch of us running around who haven't been properly trained, who don't know anything about guns. I know exactly what we are.
Let's say somebody's trying to break into your, I mean, things have gotten bad. The cops over by you, there's only a handful of cops that can't get to any place really quickly. A lot of them are sick, and somebody's trying to break into your house. Don't you want the right to protect yourself?
Yeah, that's why I got a fucking baseball bat ready to go. I'm not fucking around. And I do have a baseball bat ready to go. But I know if I haven't been trained with a gun and the opportunity to get properly trained with a gun, I know that's not the fucking right move. Because I know I'm going to...
Want to know something? It may be in normal times, but when you're seeing something that's almost like an apocalypse... You know, you want
what?
A gun store is an essential item.
Why is it always the people who talk the toughest are always the most afraid? Relax, it'll be fine. Pip, what do you think? Pip?
Well, you know, there are a lot of people that are like Joe in their feelings. I mean,
I know.
I knew a gun enthusiast who was really afraid that society was going to break down, but he thought that the government was coming for him, you know, and I thought, okay, yeah, one of those. But there are people who are afraid that if something, if it became, like, really out of control, catastrophic, and we started to lose much more people than we, you know, is already predicted that we will, that, and, you know, and services and things
break down.
What
the fuck? We just lost the video.
I'm terrified that there would be a lot of people out there, new gun holders, people who don't know what they're doing, who are panicked, and now they've got these weapons that they don't really have proper control over. But I do have to say that I would like to have something to protect myself with, so I'm really on the fence.
Mm. We just lost the video. I don't know why.
No.
Your live video interrupted. Broadcast has been paused. It should resume shortly. You're going to resume shortly.
No, it says it's fucking... it says it's paused?
Yeah.
Should I end the live feed and restart it?
I guess so.
I guess.
Motherfucking Facebook.
You know, we could say that on every day.
God damn it!
I love Facebook, but it's also really fragile, and it's really annoying. I don't know who's out there, you know, going through people's posts and picking and choosing what they're going to put people in Facebook jail for, but it's really quite bizarre.
All right, I'm going to end the live feed and restart it.
Okay. I'm going to load my gun.
Yeah, please.
Well, while we're doing that.
There you go.
No.
Let's see.
I don't want that.
Oh, motherfucker.
So, I guess this is the spot that will be cut out of the show.
All right.
Yeah.
There we go. All right, I'm about to get us up. I don't know what's going on with this thing. Extra things to worry. It's a shame. We had a nice fucking full room. Whatever. Okay. All right. So, shall we move on?
Yeah.
All right. Prostitutes. It's not all laying around and waiting for it. It's not as easy as you would think, kids. Selling.
What? Oh, no. It's pretty easy.
Okay. Well, selling sex is not an essential service during the coronavirus lockdown. So this is the story of a couple of sex workers. This was in the New York Post. Anna is a Brooklyn-based sex worker who is still seeing her regulars despite social distancing measures being implemented to fight the spread of COVID-19. But business is down 80% as the global infection could surpass 857,000 cases. Before the virus came, I did. Huddle a huddle a who. Anyway, I was seeing... Nothing. Okay. I was seeing one or two clients a day, making around $200 to $300 a day. I could afford her, she tells the Post. Now Anna is living on $300 a week, and there could be days where you sit around all day not knowing what to do with yourself. Practice. The 35-year-old Russian immigrant, who declined to give her full name for privacy reasons, says she can't leave her line of work. She has to support herself and her 17-year-old daughter, and unlike employees laid off from mainstream legal and tax businesses, she's ineligible for unemployment benefits. She's like, I'm not going to steal. I'm not going to rob. I can't. My daughter needs me. I need to provide. I need to give her some type of support. Who markets herself as a curvy brunette. Anyway, sex workers like Anna across the country are faced with risking their lives and endangering the public safety to earn money with their bodies during quarantine. Several local and national organizations like Sex Workers Outreach Project have launched online fundraisers to help survive this uncertain time. But right now, the future seems bleak. Anna is not taking on new clients, limiting herself to five or six familiar Johns after the New York Department of Health released graphic guidelines for safe sex during the pandemic. By the way, no rim jobs. That was on the list, just so you know. I'm still taking a huge risk. No, that's true. But
really?
Yeah, that's real. But I'm being as careful as I can, showers before and after the session, rinsing my mouth with Listerine. Listen, you filthy whore, you should have been doing that anyway. Anyway.
Yeah, really?
In the age of COVID-19, a typical transaction starts with discussing how the client is feeling and if they're experiencing any symptoms. She then segues into an exploratory massage, feeling their skin to check if they're feverish, if they're perspiring. I would hope they're feverish with her. I'm watching to see if they're coughing, sneezing. I'm looking to see if their eyes are red. When they get down to hardcore business, she doesn't allow clients to kiss her. She used to allow that. She's like, I'm constantly sanitizing my hands. I also sanitize his, you know, dick, I'm guessing. I'm rubbing alcohol over everything. She tries to adhere.
I can't relate.
and then he sanitizes his dick.
She's trying to adhere to the CDC prevention safety standards. She doesn't wear a face mask or gloves because that's weird. She says it would scare the person away. Well, it's a man wouldn't pay $100 to have him massage him with a pair of gloves. No, how about you fucking blow me and we'll take the hands out of the equation.
I think that it would probably be okay. They could work with that.
She's tried to find a mainstream employment. She's been unsuccessful. So in San Francisco, there's a high-end escort. She's trying to find different packages who want to support her during the hard times, but everybody's going through a hard time because they're with you, Frenchie.
A hard time, get it?
yes, huddle-a-huddle-a-who. She made the decision to stop servicing clients in the flesh when California enacted strict restrictions. Again, in-person contact. Now she's trying to make the jump to cam girl sex sessions, but it's not easy. She used to make a lot of money. Now she's making $200 for a phone call a night. Her rate used to be $800 an hour for in-person. She doesn't really like the video calls. All right, so there's a bunch of downsides. All right, I think, during the AIDS epidemic, and Pence, when he was governor, had to deal with this, we were trying to get drug users, because drug users were spreading diseases and AIDS because they were sharing needles. So what we did was we gave them clean needles. We weren't condoning it, but we said if you're going to do this behavior, at least be safe. I think what we need to do is we need to tell these sex workers, listen, there's not going to be, we're not going to hold it against you. We're going to give you a payment so you stop turning tricks during this epidemic. I think that's what we need to do in the name of public safety.
I agree.
Because you're right.
I don't know. I mean, you're kind of funding an illegal activity.
Yeah, but we did that with drug users. We didn't charge them with possession. We go, listen, this is a health situation. I mean, if we have a health crisis, this is what we got to do. So you want them to keep on practicing and getting themselves sick and getting other people sick and spreading it? They're not going to stop. They got to eat.
Then let them figure it out. Do it online, what they're doing.
But they're not able to figure it out. Let them figure it out doesn't work. Let them figure it out as I don't have an answer. I just gave you an answer.
So they're doing something, they're doing a profession that is not legal, and we have to see how we can help them make ends meet. What about a bank robber? What if the bank robber, the bank is closed and there's a drive-through and
A bank robber is endangering other people with a weapon. Somebody could get killed. Nobody ever got killed from a bad hand job. You might get a little chafed.
We're not promoting.
We did not promote drug use when we were giving drug users clean needles. We said, here is a health crisis. What you're doing, we can't stop what you're doing. You're going to do it. But at least we can make it safer. And we should make it legal. That's really what we should do. Then we could tax and regulate it and we wouldn't have these issues. But that's a whole different topic.
Yeah, probably wouldn't have prostitution either. Nobody could afford it.
You can afford. High court. Sure, you could afford them. You could definitely.
Sure, because there's always going to be the high end restaurants, and there's going to be the McDonald's.
Yeah.
So it's still going to be affordable.
There's always
Don't
time
worry,
to have
though.
Somebody play
we'll
with your
find
ball
you
pit.
A way.
Yeah, it'll be fine. Yeah, I listen. I mean, if this is the health epidemic that we know it is, then we got to get these girls to stop hooking and guys. Excuse me, girls and guys. We got to get them because they're spreading it.
Yeah, this is a health crisis. It's not that this is something that we're going to continue to do after this pandemic is over.
Correct.
But this is something that's any risky behavior that was happening, that's just like one of the things. So that it's got to be curtailed.
Yeah.
I mean, like shopaholics. I'm sorry, but Gucci is closed. You're just going to have to shop online. Control yourself.
Listen. If the NYPD, no, excuse me, if the CDC, or excuse me, if the New York Health Department is giving you guidelines on rim jobs, we're in some deep shit.
Yeah. Yeah, really.
Thank you. The jokes never start. But I mean, seriously, I think you're gonna like this one too. I think we have to think outside of the box on this one.
Oh boy!
Come on, Joe. I'm punny. No, but I mean, seriously, I mean, we have to think about lives, because a lot of these guys who are seeing these prostitutes, we'll use men They have families, so they're going to spread it. They're going to spread it to their family, and it's just going to get worse and worse. It's going to spread and spread. You got to be smart about this.
I mean, there are a lot of things we are tolerating a lot of curtailments of our rights and our freedoms because we're in an emergency situation. As long as everybody tries to keep up with some of this radical shit that we're doing right now, just to keep more people alive. As long as that's not going to continue, and these are temporary measures, and we're all clear about that, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I mean, and we saw that in 9/11 when we willingly, although not all of us, I wasn't happy about it, but, you know, with W and Obama, we gave up our rights for safety. Yep. You know, so that's one thing we do have to be wary of. But I don't think giving prostitutes a couple of bucks during this pandemic is going to infringe upon anybody's rights. I don't think so.
You're funding an illegal activity.
Yeah, you fucking did drugs when it was illegal. It didn't fucking stop you. You're okay. Relax, you'll be fine.
Yeah, but no, I still feel that we're funding an illegal activity.
Throwing M80s at a band when they're on stage is not a fucking legal activity. You did that shit. You are okay.
Yeah, but nobody gave me the money to buy the M80s.
Yeah, but if somebody gave you money to stop, it would have been a goddamn good investment.
I still disagree. It's funding an illegal activity.
Yeah, but in 49, it's fucking illegal because it should be fucking legalized. But like I said, that's a different fucking argument. All right, last story we're going to do tonight, and then we will move on to scam. Oh, actually, I guess we got two stories. All right, real quick, gender restriction. So what Peru's going to do to fight the coronavirus is they're going to alternate days when men and women can go out. So, for instance, like women can go out on Tuesdays, Thursdays, Saturdays. Men are permitted outside Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Everyone must stay home on Sunday and fucking deal with each other. Do you like that idea?
It's yeah and no. You know, it's with the gender. However, there is an article in the paper where women are less susceptible to get the virus than men, because men have one X chromosome and women have two. And what happens is when the coronavirus attacks, it puts the protein down, and there's two different genetic codes on the chromosome. On a male, if the protein gets on there, it's easier to get into a man's system, where if it goes into a woman's system, it figures out the code of the one X chromosome, but it can't figure out the code of the other one, and it doesn't get into the system. So yeah, I think it's crazy that, you know, there's even an odd day, but still, you know, with having the women go out, maybe the women go out one day and they try to get more things done for the house than the men can do. So yeah, I'm a little
Pip,
on the fence on this.
Pip, call 911. Somebody stole Joe. That was like research and science. I don't know what happened to Joe.
I'm terrified.
Yeah, I don't know somebody must have broken in and poor Joe couldn't get a gun. He's unarmed. If only he had a gun, he could not spout science. What the fuck happened to Joe? I don't like this one bit. I want my pal who yells and screams and doesn't do research and forsakes science. I don't like this, Joe. It scares me. Damn you, COVID-19.
It's the side of common sense in real life is what it is.
Yes, what happened to Where's Joe? What happened to Joe? Where is he, Pip?
I don't know. I'm looking for the pod next to the deer in his backyard.
You know what I think happened? I think the Home Depot person, the Stop and Shop person, and the 7-Eleven person teamed up and fucking took him out. That's what I think happened. They took out our pal.
He put another Joe back.
This is a replacement.
But I will tell you, that being said, Pip, I think the show might be better with this version.
We'll try it out for a while.
Yeah, so maybe this is a win-win. I like science, Joe. I like extra research, Joe.
Joe gets the thumbs up.
Yeah.
Well, you got to remember, I show up to the show unusually. I just drove 2.5 hours in rush hour traffic. I sit in a little spot by the console, you know, and then I got to figure it out. Here at home, I got my iPod, I got my laptop, I got my desktop. I've got my full office desk in front of me. So, you know, gives me a little bit more to work with.
Joe, don't you make me root for the virus.
Joe,
don't you make me root for the virus. How dare you?
Joe, what are you doing? He's going to expect this every week. What are you doing?
You're ruining
everything.
that's like when we have a very conservative a topic that's very conservative. And David takes a very, either left or middle of the road position. Joe, what do you think? And I agree. And he looks at me and goes, we're supposed to fill 20 minutes, you asshole. You're not supposed to agree with me.
What the hell are you doing?
We're supposed to have a big fucking fight. What are you doing? The show. But your point is, you have a good point. Well, I don't have a good point. Argue with me, stupid.
Oh, my God. Ixnay with the S-yay.
Yeah, Ixnay with the S-yay. Yeah, you get a far right-wing conservative point, and now, damn it, we got 19 minutes to fill.
Argue with me, I'm begging you.
Yeah, I don't give a damn if it is the stupidest thing you've ever heard of, but not...
give me something to stick my teeth in.
Yeah, we'll just recall the second great debate of absurdity just to fill the fucking time.
God.
Well,
yeah.
I think it's a creative way to do things. I don't really have a problem with it. Although, you know what? A lot of people do like going out to shop with their spouse to get things done together that way. So I don't really think it would fly, but I think it's creative.
You know what? Go ahead.
Oh, in the 20, God, what was it? 20, 23 years I was with Joanne, we never went to the store together.
Because you guys don't like each other. Other couples do.
Okay.
Well, we like each other and we...
Hence the divorce.
We like each other and we bicker in the supermarket.
Do you?
Yeah.
Pip, what a perfect segue. I'm glad you did that.
Oh, you're welcome.
Malaysia apologized on Tuesday after telling women to avoid nagging their husbands and speak in an infantile voice during the coronavirus lockdowns, a move that sparked a sexism outcry. In a series of Facebook posts, the Malaysian's women's ministry offered tips for how wives should behave during the lockdown. Take fucking notes, wench, which began on March 18th with a series of online posters with the hashtag translating as Women Prevent COVID-19. One of the campaign posters depicted a man sitting on his sofa and asked women to refrain from being sarcastic. Yeah, we don't like that shit. Knock it off, sweet tits, if they needed help with household chores. Another poster suggested using humor or imitating infantile voice of Doraemon, a blue robotic cat from Japan that is popular across Asia in lieu of nagging. Others advised...
And you complain about Trump.
I'm going to use my baby voice. I'm a baby Trump, baby! Perfect! Perfect! That's baby Trump.
We need more stuff.
I'm sorry I argued with you, Joe. You're absolutely right. Can I get you your slippers?
Who asked the nasty question? You asked the nasty question. You're the nastiest. Yes, you are. Fake news. All right.
I love this story. Please tell us more.
Thank you. I will. Somebody should.
It's about time. You know, we've had meeting after meeting. Finally, it sunk in.
Yeah, well, she's slow.
You're so smart and so handsome.
Yes. Yes. Now that you can see me on video, you're understanding.
I think we all should do the show. When things get back to normal, I think we should still keep doing this. It's working out fine.
I like Science Show and Complimentary Pip. I like the new cast.
I like it.
It's a shame we had to kill off the old cast, but I like this one better. I'm still an asshole.
Can I make you guys a sandwich?
Yes!
Oh, good.
Yes.
Yeah, why don't you make us a nice sandwich?
That would be lovely.
Okay, I'm liking this.
I liked it. Finally, Pip knows her fucking place.
Do you want a foot massage, dear?
Yes! Yes! I'd like a blowjob, too, as long as you're offering. I can shut off Facebook Live.
I'll already be on my knees. It won't be any trouble.
You know what? She'll gnaw your cock like an alligator. You do that.
She's not you, stupid. She'll play nice.
I mean,
yes.
That's nice there.
All right. Oh, that is fucking annoying. Where's my pillow? You need to be smothered.
Yeah. All right, we get it. Yep. All right.
That would fucking wear out then.
Would you not shoot this person within the hour?
Yeah, but you had that coming anyway, so that's a bad example.
Maybe you give him a new hat using a shovel, but yeah.
Others advise women working at home to wear makeup and dress neatly rather than in casual clothes. Yeah, fucking look like you give a shit. You're going into the living room.
Go
fucking
fuck yourself!
Give a shit.
A little fucking effort.
Like you give a shit.
We don't need the Sunday sweatpants every fucking day. We get it.
Every day.
You're working from
every
home.
Day.
It's got a shit stain on the back. Clean yourself up, you filthy whore, you.
Oh my god.
Oh, sorry, just me? Anyway, okay. We we apologize if some of the tips we shared were inappropriate and touched on the sensitivities of some parties. The Ministry of Women's Development.
Can I stop you for a second?
Sure.
I like the right thumb. You know, there's some things about it. There's a lot of shit there that you gotta toe the line.
Don't make me fucking tell you twice, woman.
Yeah.
It's like we gave you great ideas. Maybe some of them annoyed some of you, so we're going to have to backpedal a little. But guys, you know where we're coming from.
You know we're right. Right? Yeah, I got to say,
fellas,
I fucking agree.
Right, fellas? Little baby talk,
yes,
little
sir.
You know? Yeah.
I totally agree with everything that you're saying. I think that this is probably one of the things that we should have been doing all along.
Don't fucking tell me what I should have been doing all along. How dare you, woman? Now put on some makeup and know your role.
I just put on some eyeshadow, and I'm getting my favorite color lip gloss on so that when I blow you, you'll enjoy it.
I don't give a shit what your favorite color lip gloss is. I give a shit about my favorite color. It's going to be wrapped around my cock. Damn it, woman, aren't you listening?
Yeah, and don't forget to change your drawers either.
I didn't think I was going to wear any.
Wow, see, she's a proactive cock munch. I like that.
Oh, my God.
We're naming the second. Usually, David has your name the second. Write it down. Proactive cock muncher.
There you go.
You know,
Joe just gave you the little handwriting motion.
On it.
What?
I was already on it.
There, of course you were, like a cock.
The segment name.
The apology
Whatever
came.
You like, dear.
All right, so they. I'm going to try to get through this, you clowns.
I'm sorry, we're having fun with our comedy show. Please continue.
Sorry if we're riffing. Sorry.
Yeah, but I'm trying. I get it. But how much of that baby voice can we hear until we want to fucking hang up? I get it.
Yeah.
All right, so the posts have been removed.
I have made my obnoxious point.
Yes. No, it's a good point. It was a fair point. It was a fair point indeed. So people thought it was both condescending to women and men. A manager at All Women's Action Society. Oh, fuck you. These posters promote the concept of gender inequality and perpetuate the concept of patriarchy. Yes, they do. A government hotline that helps domestic abuse victims and vulnerable children has received nearly 2,000 calls, more than double the usual. Well, now they're making it sad because people are getting beaten up. They're ruining the image.
Ah, they ruined the... you went and ruined everything.
Exactly. How did we go from preventing baby dumping, fighting domestic violence, to some sad variant of Obedient Wives Club, a Twitter user posted? No tips on how to deal with domestic violence? Yeah, you fucking take it and grin so you don't get any more. Damn it.
Yeah. It's always fun until somebody gets a black eye.
Again.
Yeah. Ow.
Again.
But anyway, yeah, you get to listen. We had a lot of fun with this, and not for nothing. I do feel less nagging makes the situation worse. I got to be honest, but to just put it at one gender, that's where the problem is. Because my wife will tell you I'm the nag. So, and she's wrong, by the way. She's usually nagging when she says that. But
and if you're a baby, if you refuse to go to a corona laced loading dock,
you know, maybe if she would have used Pip's little baby voice, I would have fucking I would have gone on shorts and a t-shirt and coronavirus be damned.
Oh, that's funny. There's the corona. There's a guy covered. The guy, I get your skirt off, stupid, and get to that loading dock.
Such a pussy. You call yourself a man? Lick the hazmat suit. Lick the hazmat suit.
Yeah, right.
Like a cat. Give him a cat bath.
Yeah, right.
I think what they, well, forget about the infantile voice because you need to die if you're using that. But
that's a bit much.
But I think the tips were good if they would have directed at, if they were not gender specific.
Right. Well, I think, you know what, there's some kind of thought that people have where you know, you go home from your hard day and you take it out on the one that you love because they have to put up with you. Nene, as you would say, Davin, they're the last person that you're supposed to be taking your shit out on because that's your partner and they have your back.
Yeah, but you know they can take a punch.
Like, what?
You know they can take a punch.
And you can't be punching your boss. I so get that.
No, look. Funny. Here's the thing. You need to marry somebody with a rock hard jaw. That's what you fucking need.
Have you ever tried Mr. Helix's jaw out for size?
I have. Honestly.
Oh, hey.
Me and my wife are not fighting that much, which is good because we're all cooped up here and nobody's really fighting with my daughter that much. Everybody's actually getting along pretty well, but I think that's because I stay in the basement and they stay upstairs, so I think that works. But everybody's getting along pretty well. What about you and Mr. Helix?
We kind of socially distance in the house anyway. That's why we have a man cave and a female cave, and then when we meet up, we get along great.
So you guys aren't having any issues either?
No, the only time we have issues is in the supermarket because he leans towards buying less, and I am a hoarder, so do the math.
I was going to strangle my wife the other day because I want to get in and out of the supermarket. Usually I don't give a shit, but with this going on, I want to get in and out. But she's like going back and forth with this cauliflower rice, putting one back, taking it. Well, this one's a little cheaper. I'm like, I don't give a shit. I don't want cauliflower rice to begin with. Just fucking buy it and move on.
It's got, you know what? It's god awful. You know what? They don't do a good enough job with it where it still has some of the little sticky thingy things in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
I was confused when they first came out with that. I was like, I felt like Jessica Simpson, you know, she said that stupid thing, like, is this chicken or tuna that I'm eating? I'm looking at the packaging going, well, is it cauliflower or is it a rice? I didn't understand.
It's shit. That's what the answer is. And I didn't want to get, I don't want to get coronavirus over licking a hazmat suit. And I don't want to get, I certainly don't want to get it over cauliflower rice. Those are my fucking rules. But,
right.
This is not the hill I want to die on.
Exactly. Listen, I think we all agree that the guidelines, some of the guidelines are pretty good. You know what? Don't look like a slob. You know, try to look nice. Try not to be a pain in the ass. Maybe tone down on the sarcasm. But you got to make it both genders. That's the reality of it.
Yes, absolutely.
But yeah, they kind of fucked up. But it gave us a segment, so I'm fine. All right.
There you go.
All right, we're going to move on to Scamming Scammers. We're going to take our last break of the evening. On the break, you got new music from Clara Hurtado with Into Me, and you can learn more about her at deucemusic.com. And you also have new music from Be Infinite with Love is a Passion. You can learn more about them at khb-music.de. It's about a 10-minute break, so enjoy the music. We'll be back in about 10. We'll do a quick Scamming Scammer.